having me for this webinar. So hi everyone, my name is Laura. My title at Google is I'm the Program Manager for Accessibility across Chrome and Chrome OS. So what that means is basically our team works on all things Chrome, whether that's the Chrome browser across platforms, Chromebooks, helping to make all the different features built into Chromebooks for accessibility, and et cetera. So a big part of my job is working with our core set of engineers who focus full-time on accessibility, for example, to help with compatibility issues, for using Chrome with other screen readers, for helping move web standards forward, again, for helping to build all the features we're going to talk about today that are in Chromebooks. Another part of my job is to help to work across the broader teams of Chrome and Chrome OS, working with the more general designers and product managers, engineers, researchers, helping to integrate accessibility into the processes so that as we're launching new parts of the interface, they actually do go through a review process and we're able to vet them for accessibility and test the keyboard navigation and the screen reader interaction, et cetera. Again, just aiming to integrate accessibility throughout our processes. I've been at Google for about 8.5 years now. I've been on my current team for about 4.5 years, so I'm very happy to be in this role and be able to talk to you all today. So for today, I'm going to go through the different Chromebook accessibility features that are built into every Chromebook device. Then I'd love to just spend a little bit of time explaining some more extensions from the Chrome Web Store that we've collected mostly from educators and teachers, just to explain a little bit more about how you can further customize the experience through extensions and apps. And then I'm happy to share some anecdotes that we've collected from teachers as well, just about especially using the G Suite apps on Chromebooks in classrooms of diverse learners. I'll wrap up with where to learn more, and then we'll take questions at the end. Okay, so to begin, I wanted to explain a bit about Chromebooks and the Chrome operating system. When I'm saying, our team works on Chrome OS, basically just mean the Chrome operating system, which is what runs on every Chromebook. And Chromebooks are really interesting devices. They are built on the three principles of speed, simplicity, and security. So speed, these devices are very fast. They boot up within about 5 seconds. And they're really designed to be very lightweight and fast, and every interaction is quick for you. Simplicity, the actual interface is designed to be very simple. Basically, once you boot it up, the entire UI is basically just one bar at the bottom of the screen where you have your shelf of your most commonly used icons for apps. You've got your launcher, where you can actually launch additional apps or do searches. And then on the bottom right-hand side, there's what we call the status area. And this is where you've got your time, your battery, your settings, your Wi-Fi, things like that. So it's a very simple and basic interface. When it comes to security, the third principle, this is something that we take extremely seriously at Google as a whole, and in particular on the Chrome operating system. We have built-in malware protection, and we also have regular updates that run. So one interesting thing about Chromebooks is that you never have to actually manually update them. As long as you are connected to the internet, you're going to have rolling updates come along. So basically, the Chromebook will update automatically for you. That means you're also getting all the latest security fixes in addition to any new features or just product changes. It's just a rolling update, so you never have to worry about kind of installing lengthy updates and kind of stopping what you want to be doing. Chromebooks are designed really to run web-based applications. They're not able to run traditional PC software that you would kind of download and put onto the device itself. Everything is really designed to be running in the cloud. You can access the Chrome Web Store. Now you can also access the Android Play Store and access Android apps on many devices. The main idea is really to be doing everything in the cloud, although there's still plenty of items and things that you can do when you're not connected to the internet. Like I know we get that question a lot from teachers in particular of, you know, sometimes students won't have access to internet at home. So they want to make sure that they can continue to, you know, do assignments or whatever it may be. There's plenty that can be done in an offline capacity. Many apps have offline modes, like for example, Google Docs or Gmail or other non-Google apps have plenty of offline modes where you can kind of continue to do what you're going to do on there. And then as soon as you get back onto the internet, it can be synced. So that is definitely possible, but they really are designed to be running on the cloud. Everything is kind of saved to the cloud, not necessarily saved to the device. So for example, you could save everything to Google Drive so that everything is just linked to your account. It's not actually on the device itself. So that makes it easier for access if you happen to sign into a different device or access your account from another device, not a Chromebook. Perhaps you're signing in from a phone or from a different computer. That's the beauty of kind of having everything stored to Google Drive and in the cloud for your easy access. Another interesting thing about Chromebooks is we work really hard on trying to make them easy to share. And this is important. Just going back to it. We work on making them easy to share. So again, thinking about this concept of you sign into the device, whether it's a family shared device that a member, multiple members of the family are using, or let's say it's in a classroom where maybe you're at a school where there aren't one-to-one devices for students, but a student would walk into a classroom and then sign in with their account to a computer that's just kind of based in that classroom. As long as you sign in with your account, then all of your settings are going to be synced to your computer at that point. So you don't have to worry, for example, if you have a number of different accessibility settings turned on, you don't have to worry about always customizing every time you sign into a new computer. As soon as you sign in, those settings are synced to your account, so you'll have your setup, your experience, just where you left off. Similarly, you can sync with things like your browsing history, your different other settings aside from accessibility. Everything is kind of tied to your account, so it just makes for easier sharing across different devices. When it comes to the actual models of Chromebooks, just to give a little bit of background, so we work with a number of different manufacturers to actually produce the Chromebook hardware. We at Google create the Chrome operating system, and then the operating system is on, it's exactly the same across the different models that we sell. So for example, we work with manufacturers like Acer and Asus, Samsung, Lenovo, Dell, HP, and a number of others. We also have some models that we at Google build ourselves in terms of the hardware, and that's the Pixel line. So we have a lot of different types of hardware and a lot of different price points. So I think the Chromebooks go as low as being for sale for around $150, and then they go all the way up to over $1,000. And again, the main difference there is the hardware and like the processing power. So the more expensive devices are going to have like more high resolution screens, perhaps they're touch screens, or it's a convertible device that flips into a tablet mode. So it really just depends on what sort of device you would be looking for if you're looking for a Chromebook. Again, there are very low price, more affordable devices, which have all of the same sort of functionality when it comes to whatever, when you boot up the device, it's the same interface you're going to be interacting with, regardless of what hardware you buy or what model it is. So it really just depends on the size you're looking for, certain functionality of the hardware, again, like whether it's convertible or touch. There are plenty of different options out there. And let's see, I think I covered most of what I wanted to there. I will say that on this slide reads, you know, accessible out of the box. This is something that our team on the accessibility side focuses hard on, is helping to create features that are built into every Chromebook. Again, doesn't matter which model you're using, all of these features will be the same, available on all the different devices, so that once you purchase the device and you're using it, you have access to all of the accessibility features and don't have to install anything in addition or purchase anything. You can use additional apps and extensions if you choose to, but our goal is to help to make the defaults available and easy for you. So at this point, I am going to shift into going through the different types of features that we have on the Chromebook. The first category is around making things easier to see on the Chromebook. So first off, there are multiple ways to zoom in on content and make things larger. So the first way is just to increase the size of the browser content itself. So you can press Control plus at any point. So if you hold down Control and just press plus multiple times, that will make the size of the browser content itself larger. And then you can press Control minus to decrease. But for many people, myself included, I happen to be low vision, so I use a lot of these features I'm going through right now. Only increasing the browser size is not quite enough. So you can also make the size of everything on the device larger. Here you can actually press Control Shift plus, and this will make everything larger, including the bottom shelf of icons. So we call it the shelf, where it's the black bar at the bottom of those screenshots, where right now there's the Chrome icon in there and the little circle on the very left for the launcher, and then the system area on the bottom right with the time, and it's kind of where you would click to be able to access your settings. So everything in this case is actually made larger, including that bottom, the tabs up at the top, basically everything will change. So you can use that with Control Shift plus to make everything larger, Control Shift minus to make everything smaller, and then you can reset at any time by pressing Control Shift 0. If that's still not quite enough magnification, we also have two modes of magnifiers which are available in the Chromebook accessibility settings. So the first one is our full screen magnifier, which once you enable it, you can then obviously, the entire screen gets larger and you use the mouse to move the viewport around. You can also use the keyboard and press tab to shift focus, go through the buttons and the links on the page, and anything else that's focusable, and visual focus will follow. So this magnifier and the next one I'll explain go all the way up to 20x zoom. And there are different ways to actually adjust the zoom level. So either you can set this, you can set it actually within Chromebook accessibility settings. There's a drop down there where you can choose the magnification level that works best for you. Or you can use a couple of shortcuts. So one of them is holding down the Control and Alt keys and then using two fingers to scroll on the touchpad. So if you basically you're just scrolling up and down, and that will allow you to zoom in and out, set that right zoom level. The alternative is holding down Control and Alt keys and pressing the brightness up key, which is on the top row of function keys on the Chromebook. So again, just different ways to adjust the zoom level. And it's very easy to kind of hop in and out. I tend to leave it on. I always leave the magnifier on because I only need it sometimes with my vision. So I'll leave it on and then I'll be able to quickly hold down Control and Alt and scroll two fingers on the touchpad and zoom in and out very easily and quickly. The other mode, which I'm going to play a video, I'm hoping that it comes through on Zoom. The other mode that we more recently launched is our docked magnifier. Oops, let me go back. And I'll play a video to show how this works. When you turn the docked magnifier on, basically there's a section at the top of the screen, the top one third that is zoomed in. And that's the magnified area. The bottom two thirds of the screen, everything kind of resizes to fit within that portion. So everything's now fitting in the bottom two thirds. You use your mouse cursor to move around the screen and show whatever's, control whatever's being showed in that magnified viewport. As you type, basically the text that you're typing stays centered there, so it doesn't kind of run off and run out of the zoomed in portion. And again, you can change this, the zoom level up to 20x magnification here. I will say that you can turn this on and off by pressing Control Search D for docked magnifier. You can also turn on the full screen magnifier at any point on and off by pressing Control Search M for magnifier. So just again, a little bit faster ways to turn them on and off, or you can do this in accessibility settings. The main reason why we wanted to build the docked magnifier is because we were talking to some users and they were saying that especially when they were using smaller screens of Chromebooks, that sometimes it can be a little bit challenging to pan around when you're using high levels of magnification and know where are you on the screen. relative to the bigger picture. So this, in a sense, helps to reduce the amount of overall panning and also helps you to understand a little bit more easily, okay, well, am I in the upper left corner of the screen versus am I in the bottom right corner? So you get a more of that context. Okay. We also have an adjustable mouse cursor available in accessibility settings. It is a sliding scale, so you can choose the size that works best for you, as well as a high contrast mode, which inverts the colors on the screen. So you can turn this on in settings, or there's a keyboard shortcut of Control Search H at any time to toggle quickly back and forth. Next, we have the ability to highlight different areas of the screen for better visibility. So we can highlight the mouse cursor, the text caret, and the keyboard focused item. And what this does is it just draws a focus ring around these things. So for example, in the slide, we've got a GIF showing what it's like when you have the focus around the text caret, for example. And there's a circle as you type, it's there. It helps you to draw a little bit more visual focus as you're typing or as you're moving the mouse cursor. Just again, helping to draw more attention to the important items on the screen. Okay, next up we have a few features I'll just run through quickly for anybody who has a motor and dexterity challenge or impairment. So we do have an on-screen keyboard. This is available to be able to use with a mouse, a touchpad, a connected joystick device, if it's not possible for you to physically type on the physical keyboard. This has different modes, whether it's access to the QWERTY keyboard, or you have a handwriting mode here as well, which is an interesting way to use with the mouse. There is also a dictation button that appears within this virtual on-screen keyboard if you choose to use voice input in this mode. There are a number of different physical keyboard and touchpad settings as well to make your experience more accessible. On the touchpad side, we have tap to click, which will, you know, reduces the amount of pressure that you actually have to push down on the touchpad to actually click. Similarly, we've got tap dragging, which you can basically, when this is on, you can lightly double tap and then just drag your finger to rearrange things like the shelf icons, or if you want to rearrange your tab order. It just helps to not put so much pressure on the touchpad. Automatic clicks is something that basically, if you're not able to put any pressure on the touchpad or on the mouse, you can use automatic clicks, which will allow you to hover over any given item, and then Chrome OS will actually click for you. So you don't have to put any sort of actual pressure. You just control where the mouse goes, and then it'll click for you. On the keyboard side, you can adjust things like adjusting the keyboard repeat rate and the delay before repeating, so that as you're pressing the keys, and it doesn't actually type multiple letters of the same at once. We also have a dictation feature, which will allow you to type through voice into any text field. As I showed before, there is a way to do this through the on-screen keyboard, but we did want to launch a standalone version of this, so you can use it without using the on-screen keyboard, because the on-screen keyboard does obstruct the view of the bottom portion of the screen. So for folks who just want to use dictation and not the on-screen keyboard, you can use this feature available in accessibility settings. And when this is on, basically a little microphone icon will appear in the bottom right corner of the screen, which is the status area. You can either click it to actually dictate into any text field, or when your focus is in any text field and the feature is on, you can press the search key, which is the caps lock key on most other computers. It's located on the left side, right above shift. You can use the search key and press the letter D as in dictate, and that will also trigger listening or stopping dictation. So again, this can be used in any edit field just to use voice input. Okay, shifting gears, we have a feature to help to make content easier to hear, which is mono audio. This is for any users who perhaps have more limited hearing in one ear or the other, and perhaps would be missing sound or missing key context when things are played in stereo sound. So this helps to just equalize what's being played and play the same audio out of both ears so you don't miss that extra context. Okay, next up, wanted to spend more time on spoken feedback. So we have a few different methods and features of using spoken feedback. So first off, we have the Chrome Vox screen reader, and that's Chrome V as in voice, V-O-X. Chrome Vox is built into, like just like all these features, built into every device. You can turn it on at any time by pressing Control-Alt-Z as in zebra, or through going through accessibility settings. But even from the very first time that you turn on your Chromebook and you're kind of about to go through the setup flow, you can turn Chrome Vox on at that very first screen with Control-Alt-Z and go through the process with a screen reader or with Braille. So Chrome Vox is, it's been around since 2011. And we had launched it back then, and we came a long way with this screen reader on Chromebooks, but we collected a lot of user feedback and kind of took a step back about three and a half years ago. And we thought about the experience and we thought about, okay, what would we like Chromebox to become in the future? And we actually, as a team, wound up recreating and rewriting the screen reader from the ground up. And we launched the brand new version in February of 2017. That's when it rolled out to all devices. We had kind of a rolling beta process before that, so we did have some of our users opt into it. But now on every Chromebook, the new version of Chromebox is out, and it comes with a lot of different improvements. So what this new version has is just a faster and more consistent experience as a whole, because the way that the screen reader is actually interacting with the page and with the apps now is just more consistent. And it just does provide faster feedback. We worked hard on simplifying the keyboard model. So in the original version of Chromebox, we had multiple modifier keys that had to be held down. The search key, again, which is the key that we use for a lot of our accessibility features, which is located right above shift on the left side of the keyboard. Search key plus shift plus, for example, if you wanted to navigate by heading, it used to be search plus shift plus N and then H, the next heading. So four total keys, which was just too much. We heard time and time again that it was just too many keys to hold down. So we wanted to take away that concept of a lot of layering in terms of the keyboard shortcuts. So now we just have the one modifier key, which is the search key, which you would hold down. So for example, if you wanted to navigate item by item on the screen, it would just be search plus right, and that would be the way to navigate at the object level through everything. If you wanted to navigate by heading on the screen, it would just be search plus H. And then to go backwards, you would add in the shift key, so search plus shift plus H. To navigate by button, it would be search plus B. So kind of very similar to how other screen readers work in that regard. We also worked on, we added some new features within Chromebox with the new version that came out. So we have a new speech panel, which is at the very top of the screen when Chromebox is on. It is just in the screenshot here, it's just the very top portion where it's a black bar with white text. And when you're using the screen reader, let's say that you're working with a student or a student who's using the screen reader and you're kind of helping to follow along, this is a feature that's meant more so for a sighted assistant or guide to be able to look at what is actually being spoken. It's just a speech panel, just verbally writing whatever is being spoken through the screen reader. We also launched a new panel, which is our menu panel, so the Chromebox menus. This is what's being shown on the screen right now, actually, where essentially when you can press search plus period as the shortcut to open the panel, and you're brought into a set of different menus. So right now it's showing the jump menu. And in the jump menu, you've got all like the different types of jump commands that you could use, whether it's going to the next button, going to the next checkbox, the next heading, the next level one heading. There are lots of different types of jump commands that you can use here. So it's just a nice, easy one-stop shop in that regard to all of your commands. You also have the speech panel, which will bring you to different speech options about rate and pitch and other things. In this menu panel, you've got your list of open tabs, so you can have really easy access to just cycle through the different tabs and find the one that you'd like to go to and jump directly to that. There's the Chromevox menu. So the Chromevox menu has things like going to the tutorial or opening up keyboard learn mode. Keyboard learn mode is something that is just a mode that we have where it just opens up a new tab, a new Chrome tab, And it basically means that as you press the keys on the keyboard, all it does is it just speaks the keys aloud. So it doesn't type anything as you're actually pressing the keys. You can just hear whatever the keys are, whether it's just typing one single letter, or let's say, for example, I pressed the letters, the search and the letter B, it would actually speak aloud to me, search B, and then it would tell me next button. So it actually does go ahead and tell you the different keyboard shortcuts for Chromevox as well as you're using Keyboard Learn Mode. And if you want to hop out of Keyboard Learn Mode, it's as simple as just closing the tab, which the keyboard shortcut for that is Control W, because the Keyboard Learn Mode is essentially just one tab that's open and kind of takes over. So that's helpful for anybody who's new to a Chromebook and wants to learn the keyboard more efficiently. Get a sense for what's on the keyboard, or just anybody who's more new to using a screen reader, it can definitely be a helpful thing to kind of leverage and use as you're getting more familiar with the keyboard. In addition, on the menu panels, again, which you access through pressing search plus period, you can access things like headings lists, landmarks lists, links lists, forms lists, and tables lists. So if you're on a complex web page, you can go quickly, for example, like let's say you're on a complex web page with lots of links, you can go to the links list and then you can kind of cycle through very easily to understand, okay, well, which link do I want to jump to, and then press enter to actually jump to it. So this whole menu panel is really meant to be something to help in particular with faster navigation. Also just as you're learning the screen reader, we know that a lot of people would be newer to Chromevox or maybe used to other screen readers, and need a kind of, again, one-stop shop where they can go to kind of see where all the different commands are and access all, you know, what Chromevox has to offer. So again, pressing search plus period will take you there. In the new version of Chromevox, we also have launched a new set of earcons, which are audio sound effects equivalent to icons. And with these, we just wanted to make them a little bit more subtle. There is a way that you can turn them off if you don't like them in our Chromevox options page, but we hear from a lot of users that they just help to add additional context about the page. So as you're navigating through, you know, it's a little sound effect that will play behind, you know, as you navigate to a button or a link, or if you're reloading the page and it's taking time, you'll hear when it's done loading. And one interesting thing that we wanted to do was we added stereo positioning of these earcons. So basically, if you navigate to a link that's on the right side of the page, for one example, it will actually play the earcon in the right ear of your headphones or in the right speaker. Or if you navigate to a button that's on the left side, it'll play that button earcon on the left side. So it just has a little bit more contextual clue about the layout of the page, since that's often missed when just navigating linearly. We also have a lot of Braille support that is enabled with Chromevox. So with Braille support, all you need to do is just plug in a USB Braille display, and there's no additional setup that's required. There are different Braille options available on the options page of Chromevox, which you can get to at any time, either through going through the menu panel, or you can press the shortcut of search, and then you hold down search, press O, and then O again, the letter O. That will be as an open options. That will help to open up a new tab with Chromevox options, and that's where you can access different Braille settings, as well as speech settings and things like that. So one thing that we did add in recently over the past few months has just been more ways to actually navigate using the Braille display itself. So instead of having to kind of shift your hands away from the Braille display and then jump back to the QWERTY keyboard to kind of jump around the page and navigate, we wanted to add more navigational commands to the Braille display. So those are all available either in our Help Center. We have an article that specifies these, or there is a trick which you can use. So in this, what's displaying on the screen right now, we have the speech panel at the top of the screen, which again is the black bar with white text that's written that shows whatever Chromevox is speaking. You can also enable what we call Braille captions. So if you press the search key and hold it down and press the letter A and then B for Braille, you can enable Braille captions. And what this does is it just adds actual, like, the written equivalent of what the Braille would be saying. So it's actually written out in flat dot Braille up on the screen. So if you had a connected Braille display, or even if you didn't have a Braille display connected, you would just be able to see the equivalent of the written Braille in the Braille dots in a flat way up in this panel. So the trick here is that if you would like to see the Braille commands to actually jump around and use the Perkins-style Braille keyboard to jump around the device, all you have to do is enable the Braille captions, again, by holding down search, pressing A and then B. And then once you access the jump menu, so if you press search plus period and you open up that first jump menu with all the different keyboard shortcuts, it will also show you any of the keyboard equivalents that are on the Braille display. So to jump to the next heading or to jump around the screen, like it'll actually show you what those corded commands are. So that's just one little shortcut to be able to see those with faster, just in a faster way versus having to pull up the Help Center, for example, is just enable Braille captions and then press search plus period. In the jump menu, you'll see all of those navigational Braille commands. Great. The one other thing that I would like to mention too is that ChromeFlex has what's called sticky mode. For anyone who prefers not to have to hold down a modifier key, which for, in our instance, it's the search key. If you're in consumption mode and you're not, you know, let's say you're just reading a lengthy article or something like that, and you just want to navigate with one hand, you can also just press, you can double tap the search key. That will turn you into sticky mode. And then basically it's as if you're holding down that key. So all you have to do is, for example, press the right arrow key to navigate object by object, or press the H key to go navigate by heading. You don't have to hold down the search key. To flip out of it and go back to the traditional mode, you just double tap the search key again. You'll hear a verbal confirmation that sticky mode has been disabled. Great. Next up, we have Select to Speak, which is a different flavor of spoken feedback. The way that Select to Speak works is it doesn't verbalize everything that you are navigating through. This is something that I use. I'm low vision, and I do still have some remaining central vision, so I have the ability to navigate with the mouse cursor. And then what I use is I'm able to then select a certain area of the screen and have it spoken aloud. So this Select to Speak is rather new. It came out within the last year, again, available through accessibility settings, and it works in a few different ways. So I'll go through all the different ways you can use it. The first way is that you hold down the search key when it's on, and then you use the mouse to either click a given item or drag a box around a certain area of text, which is what this GIF is showing right now. You're dragging a box, it shows in pink, and then it'll actually allow you to read whatever you just select in terms of like that specific area of the screen. This works with text. It also works with icons or tabs, like things that are not just selectable in terms of text. So if I were to select all the different icons in the lower shelf, it would actually tell me whatever the alt text is behind those, which is kind of helpful. So you can either select a certain area like that, or you can also select text itself if you choose, if you want to be more precise than drawing a box around content. You can select specific text just as you would, like for example, let's say you're typing a draft in Gmail and you want to select all of the text, and then you can press a keystroke of search plus S, and that will just read only that text aloud. So you can use either mode, both work. So this is using either the touchpad or through using the keyboard. There is another mode that you could use with this feature if you're using touch or if you're using only the mouse. There's a little icon that appears when the feature is enabled, which shows in the bottom right corner of the screen. It's like a little sound icon with sound waves. And if you are not a keyboard user and you need to use the mouse or just prefer to use the mouse or touch screen, you can click or tap that icon, and then it's the same sort of thing where you can use the mouse to then, or your finger, to drag a box around the content, and only that content will be read aloud. You can press control or search at any time to stop the content from reading aloud, so kind of like the silencer key. So this feature can be really helpful for anyone who is low vision like me, or we're hearing a lot of use in terms of, you know, students using this, anybody with any sort of comprehension or processing challenges, second language learners, like this feature is definitely more widely applicable in that sense. Another thing to mention here is that we do have a partnership now with Acapella, which is a text-to-speech creator, a voice creator. So now it's possible to use a cappella voices on Chromebooks. So you have the set of default languages which are available through our global text-to-speech options page, available through Chromebook settings. If you would like to go beyond the default set of voices or languages, you now can go through the Chrome Web Store and access a cappella and basically purchase, you can demo and purchase any of the voices that you would prefer to use. So this opens the door for over 100 voices, over 30 languages, which is really great. And one interesting thing here too is that a cappella creates some children's voices, which have proven to be really interesting in the sense of for our younger learners. As younger voices, children's voices have proven to kind of resonate better with younger students. So I'm going to quickly unplug my headphones so that I'll show a quick demo of what
we'll work in regards to sound. Turn up the volume. So this will be an example of using select to speak to read with a children's voice with the map and help out. So selecting the text.
Fancy busy spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. Fancy busy spider climbed up the spout again.
All right, so now I'd like to shift gears a bit and talk a bit more about customizing the Chromebook with different apps and extensions. So first off, we have reducing clutter and distraction. And I will say these are all extensions that we have kind of crowdsourced together from our list of different educators and teachers. So I'll go through these quickly, but basically you can learn a lot more through the Chrome Web Store through looking at each of these individually. I hope maybe some of these will resonate with you. I just wanted to explain more about how educators are further customizing the experience. So the first one is Stay Focused, which helps you to actually set time limits for yourself on the device so that, you know, it can reduce time wasting and increase focus. Magic Scroll Web Reader is one. There are a number of different ways to kind of remove clutter from the screen and kind of remove distraction and noise from busy websites. AdBlock Plus is one where you can actually remove ads so that, you know, if you're navigating and they're distracting or if they're flashy, that can be helpful. Next up is increasing visibility and reducing eye strain. Beeline Reader is an extension that is used heavily, in particular for our users with dyslexia. And this helps to reduce eye strain. It takes a block of text, for example, and it will kind of take the end of the one line of the text and make it the same color as the beginning of the next line, and then so on. So the end of one line is red, for example, the beginning of the next line is red. The end of that line is blue, the beginning of the next line is blue. So your eyes can more easily track where they actually are supposed to go. We have the Color Enhancer, which is something, this one was actually built by Google, helps you, for anybody who's colorblind, helps you to filter the colors on the page. So you choose what type of colorblindness you have, and then you're essentially able to filter the colors throughout Chrome. MagX is a magnification app, which is free. This helps and uses the camera on the Chromebook, or you can actually use a connected camera as well. And this will allow you to use the camera to, let's say you have a piece of paper that has small font or it's poor contrast. You can put it in front of the camera and then it will basically allow you to zoom in on the computer. It'll show you that image and then you can zoom in on it. You can invert colors. You can do all kinds of things with it, which is really cool. And there are other versions of apps that also do OCR with that. Let's see. We also have for a category around improving content interaction, we have Read and Write for Google, which is built by TextHelp, which is very popular in EDU. So there's word prediction as you're typing. There's great text-to-speech with word highlighting, picture dictionary, and more. So that's definitely a very well-used extension. Duolis is an extension that helps you to organize the windows on your screen. So for example, a lot of students are using this to be able to, let's say you have an assignment that you're using or that you're working on, and then, so let's say you've got instructions on one tab, and then you've got the actual assignment in another window. So instead of having to flip back and forth, Duolist will allow you with one click just to rearrange the windows so that you can set it up. So for example, they're split screen or it's 1/3 versus 2/3 of the screen. And then with one click, you can go back to the default. So just easier in terms of processing the information. Next up, you've got moving forward faster. So Google Docs Quick Create is something that can be helpful in the sense of you can use your, it's just an extension icon that appears in the top row of extension icons in Chrome when you have this enabled. And basically, it'll just allow you to access this menu and create a new Google Doc or a new sheet or a new presentation just with one click. So instead of going to drive.google.com and creating a new, like going to the new button and creating a document there, or going to docs.google.com and doing the same thing, this is, can just help you to create a doc really simply just with one click. And then Google Tone is another one that is an interesting one. If you're with, you know, a group of people and you wanna quickly send out a URL, this is a way to send out something like through audio. So it actually will ping all the devices that are in nearby sound distance, and you can actually send the URL that way. Again, it works in only really close proximity when there isn't a ton of ambient noise, but it's interesting for use cases like in a classroom. Great, the last section, I just wanted to go over a few different anecdotes from our from teachers and just how they're using Chromebooks and how they're using G Suite applications with more diverse learners. So one interesting story we collected was being able to use the Google Drive as kind of the virtual backpack for a student. So this is it's a way to kind of teach important skills in the beginning of the year of helping to declutter and organize all the files, creating good naming conventions, creating folders and color coding, all of that, just as you would hope with a physical backpack. Google Docs has a lot of different benefits and functionalities, including voice typing, which can be used with voice editing commands as well. One interesting anecdote that we heard was just about the element of discretion that can be used with Google Docs. So we heard some anecdotes, for example, of there was a student with ADHD and who had basically the need to have his questions answered in a very quick fashion. And essentially they were, he was interrupting the class and always needing the answers. And they were contemplating pulling him out into a special education classroom. And they decided to give a try basically of using a Google Doc with a teaching aide who was sitting at the back of the classroom, not even next to the student. The student was able to type out all of his questions and get immediate answers from the teaching aide in the Google Doc. So let the rest of the class kind of continue on. Nothing was disrupted. It was just a win-win, and it also just added a huge element of discretion so that he didn't have to have somebody sitting right next to him. He didn't have to change classes. So it's just really interesting to see with the collaborative aspect of Google Docs how that was able to be possible. Slides have been used in many different ways, including obviously I'm presenting right now through using a Google Slides presentation, but it can be used in many other ways, not just for presentations. So some people are actually using this for assignments and just in a way that it breaks down tasks in more like of a more chunks, like easily digestible chunks. So some people are actually saying, you know, they're able to in their classrooms create an assignment like, okay, let's say you're going to write an essay. A teacher will create a Google Slides presentation for a student and say, okay, well, on the slide, write me one sentence about or one paragraph about X. And they'll write that in the subject of the slide and then like the very top title bar. And then the student will write in the body of the slide. The teacher can use the slides notes, like the speaker notes area, to add any additional resources or clues or hints or things like that. But then on the following slide, they'll do the same thing. Okay, now write me two sentences about why. And then basically the teachers are using this as a way to then pull together all of those things that the student wrote and then show them, okay, well look, now we've got an essay that we can kind of pull all together, and then it's a little bit less intimidating for students who are not able to kind of quickly jump into assignment. If you can break it down more into more digestible size chunks, it's kind of seemed to be working more smoothly for these students. So we just thought that was a really interesting anecdote as well. And then forms is something, Google Forms have been used for many different things, from collecting surveys to quizzes to many, many different things. One thing that we are hearing now is that a lot of schools who are using Chromebooks and G Suite apps are using forms even for collecting data on students. So like IEP data or just student performance data, they're able to kind of use this in a way where we can pull across different teachers. So we can pull across different teachers and track the student's progress across different semesters or whatever it may be, share that information with parents. There are lots of different ways, but it's great because you can kind of keep the form questions consistent and then just collect them over time with collecting timestamps as well as who else is submitting the feedback. So with that, I wanted to dive into where to learn more. So just some helpful resources. So we have Google Accessibility. Our site is google.com/accessibility. We have our Help Center for all things accessibility, which has lots of different articles. It's at g.co/help/accessibility, and that will bring you to a lot of different types of articles and resources about Google Accessibility products. We also have our direct Chromebook Help Center. So if you're just interested in learning more about Chromebooks, you can just do a Google search for Chromebook Help Center, and the top results should appear. I'm not sure if we'll be able to send out, I believe we should be able to send out these slides, but we'll confirm that afterward if you would like to get these links. We also have a video series, which again, there is a short link that's posted here, but you can also just do a Google search for Chrome and Chrome OS accessibility video series. It's on YouTube. It's part of the Chrome YouTube channel. And right now we've got 18 videos in there, and they range from things like, okay, tutorials on using ChromeVox or the different features, to, okay, navigating a Chromebook by keyboard or navigating Chrome browser by keyboard and different things like that. So we will be adding more videos soon with some of the newer features like the Dock to Magnifier and Select to Speak. Right now there are 18, and I definitely recommend to check those out for kind of deeper dives on some of these features. We also have the Chrome Web Store accessibility category. This will take you to more examples of different extensions that you can use to further customize your experience, kind of like the ones that I ran through today. In terms of communication, we have a few different ways that you can contact us. So we've got the Google group. So we have a few different Google groups. So the first one is chromebook-accessibility@googlegroups.com. The second one is chromevox-discuss@googlegroups.com. And the way that Google groups work, they're just communities. So if you go to groups.google.com, you can actually type in these group names. So you could just type in chromevox-discuss@googlegroups.com, and that will be in the search field. Press enter, and then you should be taken to a results page where you can actually then access that group, and you can request to join, and then we can approve your joining. It's just, these are two different community groups that we have where we're looking to get feedback or questions from our community members. We have members of the community on there as well as members of our team on there. So if you're interested in staying in touch and providing feedback, please do consider joining those groups. We also have a team of agents who are set up to answer any questions about anything in regards to Google accessibility. So at any point you can email disability-support@google.com, and an agent will get back to you. And this, again, is for any sort of support questions, sending feedback, whatever it may be. That is not a community group. You won't be sending an email to a bunch of other people as well. That's just directly to agents. So that, again, like more concrete support. I also have my contact information on here as lpalmero@google.com. And I have my teammates on there as well, who is not part of this presentation today, but she's my teammate who we work together on Chrome and Chrome OS accessibility. Great. So with that, I'm going to stop presenting, and I'd like to take questions.
That was pretty awesome, Laura.
Oh, thank you.
I've been keeping track of the questions that came up in the chat box, so okay. That way you don't have to dig through them.
Oh, thank you.
Way at the beginning, Anne said, that she is a Switch Access user and is interested in knowing if the Chromebook accessibility features include single switch control, and have you tested for this typing text?
Yes, great question. So Switch Access right now, you can use a Switch. We are in the process of building out our full Switch Access feature. It is currently in the works so that it'll be going beyond just using the Switch and then just navigating around the keyboard. Like, we wanted to add in additional functionality of more modes of Switch Access, of different types of scanning, different settings. So all of those things are currently in the works, and we're going to be launching in 2019. I don't have a specific month I can share yet, but 2019, that will be launching.
Mm-hmm. Next one will be from Peter. That when we got to the questions, Peter says, when trying to use the Chrome full screen magnifier and Chromevox, they've noticed that the magnifier does not track the focus in the Google Docs menus. For example, Alt plus F for file menu, arrow down to print, and you cannot see the print menu option. The magnified area is not automatically scrolling down to track the keyboard focus as it moves down the menu. Please let me know if this is just us or a known issue. Thanks.
Yes, I believe that is a known issue. I'm making a note of it now, and I will follow up with the team on that. I know that there were a few issues going on with the magnifier following focus in Google Docs recently, so I know that somebody was looking into it, so I will make sure to take that back to the team. Thank you.
Then I have Deborah says that she has enjoyed your YouTube videos, and do you have one that describes the keyboard for a vision-impaired user new to Chromebook?
Oh. I do not have one of those. That is a great idea, though. I'm going to take a note of that, because I know, you know, we have the keyboard learn mode, but it would be helpful just to have like an audio described version of what is the keyboard and how is it different. So I will make a note of that. Thank you for the feedback.
Mark would like to know if Chromebox starts automatically when the setup process starts.
No, so at this point, Chromevox does not start automatically. Right now, you do have to press Control-Alt-Z as in zebra to begin Chromevox. Or if you have a tablet device, which we have Chromebook tablets now, or Chromebook convertible devices that kind of have rotating hinge, you can hold down the volume buttons on that. And actually, if you hold them down for 5 seconds, Chromevox will start speaking. We are trying to think of a more intuitive way so that if you buy a new Chromebook and you don't know the keyboard shortcut Control-Alt-Z, we're trying to figure that process out right now. Because right now you can either press that shortcut, or there is a visible menu on screen that says accessibility from that very first screen, and you can choose Chromevox, but of course that does require sighted assistance. So we're working on ways to make it more intuitive, but for right now it's just we would press Control-Alt-Z or press the side volume buttons if you have a device that has them.
Londa would like to know, can you use Bluetooth Braille displays as well?
Great question. As of right now, you cannot, but it's something that is coming very soon. We do very fast release processes. Every 6 weeks is a new version of Chrome OS. So within the next few milestones, that is something that we are targeting.
Todd would like to know, does Google Docs Quick Create work in Chrome browser on other operating systems?
Yes, it does. Yes, all of those extensions that I mentioned in that second section of the presentation, all of those are Chrome extensions that work across any desktop platform on Chrome.
Greg would like to know if student information like IEP info is secure in Google Forms.
Yes, so it depends on who you're sharing the form with. So all the forms, like, you would have to actually add specific people to be able to view the data. So it can be, it's really up to you. Where nobody else would have access aside from whoever you share the form data with.
And then Ron would like to know, can I get the same accessibility features on a Chromebook that is about 2 years old? Also, is G Suite accessible with Chromevox?
Yes. So the features, kind of going back to what I had mentioned in the very beginning of the presentation, your Chromebook, you don't have to worry about updates. So unless you have had your Chromebook off for about 3 years and you're just turning it on for the first time, then in that case, as soon as you go to the turn on the device and you're on the internet, hopefully you will be prompted. You can also do a trick of typing about :/Chrome into your URL bar and pressing enter. So again, that's about :/Chrome. And that will just bring you to the page and settings where you can say, check for updates. So again, like if you have the instance of, okay, I bought a Chromebook 3 years ago, I haven't turned it on since, and you want to just kind of force those updates, you can do that. And then it'll basically, after it updates, it will prompt you to restart. But any device will be running, as long as you're connected to the internet and you're up to date, you'll have the latest version of Chrome. And that's where you'll have all of these different features. We don't have any sort of models where like, okay, we're only going to update till this point and then that's it. So, yeah.
Darren has put in here twice, so I'll jump to Darren so I don't get confused with keeping track of the questions coming in. Darren says, can he give feedback, to your Switch control developers as they've been a Switch user for many years?
Oh, yes. Yes. We would actually love that. I'm going to go back to the slide where we have the contact information. Either you can join one of the groups, so like the Chromebook-accessibility@googlegroups.com, or if you have specific feedback about like Switch and how you think, you know, things that would be helpful, you can also feel free to send me an email directly. Again, it's lpalmaro@google.com. Oh, and I also want to go back. I didn't address the question about G Suite with Chromebox. Yes, we do work closely with the G Suite team on helping to make G Suite work with Chromebox. We do, of course, we'd like any feedback if things don't seem to be working for you in any way, or you've got feedback, suggestions, questions. That's where that Google group of Chromebox-discuss@googlegroups.com would be helpful to join, or you can send an email to disability-support@google.com.
Awesome. Regarding the questions about getting a copy of this webinar, anybody who's been in our webinars knows that if you've registered, we will send you a link to the webinar within the next couple of days. It will also be on our main page, which can be found EASI.cc. Now back to the questions. Ricky says, hello, this is Ricky. Hi, Ricky. I use Google Chrome. So do I, Ricky. The contrast feature works very well for me. One problem I am having is having the contrast feature settings stay on. I have the dark background and light character set up. After a few minutes, it goes back to the initial setting of light background / default setting. What am I doing wrong? Why is it changing back if I have the setting set up correctly?
I'm curious to know, what platform are you using? Are you on Windows, on Mac, on Chrome OS?
While we wait for that answer, Peter says, is there a difference between Control plus Shift plus S for voice dictation and the command you mentioned, Search plus D for dictation?
What was Control? So Search plus D is basically once you have dictation on, then you can either click the microphone icon that appears in the bottom right corner. Let's say you put your cursor into an edit box for Gmail and you're drafting a message. You can either click that icon and it'll start listening and it'll play an earcon for you, or you can press Search plus D and that'll do the same thing as if you were to click it. I think was the question about Search plus S, which is part of Select to Speak. Perhaps, I'm not sure if I'm getting the question right, but that is different in the sense of that will allow you, once you have Select to Speak on, if you highlight text, then you can press Search plus S and it'll read that text aloud to you. If I did not get that question right, if there was another piece that I'm confusing, just feel free to send another question in.
And then back to Ricky with the Google Chrome and the settings. Ricky's using Windows, so it's not a Chromebook thing.
Using Windows. It sounds like you're using the Chrome, is it the Chrome High Contrast extension, I would imagine? It sounds like there might just be an issue with how the extension is holding. So I'll make a note of it that it doesn't seem to be holding your settings on Windows. So I can try to circle back with our engineers on that.
And then we have Justin wants to know if Chrome will be will continue to be supported for a long time.
Yes, it will be support. I hope so. That's my job. So, we have only plans to continue furthering our support and making things better and better. Yep.
Ricky says they will send you a message deeper into this contrast thing. Okay. And then last but not least, I think, which it would not be an easy webinar without a message from Australia. And Andrew says, have you thought about using dictation to turn Chromebox on?
Oh, yes. We have thought about this because I think, you know, things are turning more and more towards voice and voice control and a few Chromebooks at this point. I think we have the model that Google created, which is the Pixel Book, which is the kind of the very high-end device at this point. That was the first model to get voice, like our voice assistant. And we would like eventually to have it possible to have the voice assistant turn on different accessibility features. That is not yet working and it's not yet in the timeline, but that's something that I've definitely thought about and think it would be really cool. And so as the assistant kind of spreads to more devices, I think hopefully we'll see more interaction there.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to say one more last question. And then at the same time, I'm also going to point out how much we really appreciate you taking your time to present this to us, especially since I'm going to go get me a Chromebook now. I have to go work on Norm for that. And he was a little bit excited and has a smile on his face. So I just might be getting one. You never know. Christmas is coming. And since Halloween's over, apparently now we're allowed to talk about Christmas. So the last question came out with Daniel says, voice input dictation is a great accessibility feature in Google Documents, but it's very limited when speaking languages that don't support punctuation. Is support for punctuation coming to more languages?
Oh, interesting. So within Google Docs voice typing, you're saying. I'm gonna take that down as a question. I'm not sure, to be totally honest with you. But I think that is a great question. So I will send a note to the Google Docs team and just say, hey, like, I hope that you're on this. We're getting questions from our users about this. So voice typing with languages that do not use punctuation is okay.
Well, Laura, this is Norm Coombs.
Sorry, you guys.
Okay, there we go.
So this is Norm Coombs. And I want to thank you for the excellent webinar. I'm an old teacher, and I would give this an A++. It was well done.
Thank you.
And really impressed with Chromebook. I had no idea. So you solved the problem. I never know what I want for Christmas, and everybody gets frustrated, but it looks like it's going to be a Chromebook this year. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but we are still working on things. As we mentioned, like, there are a few features that were brought up even today, like switch access, which we're definitely still working on, and we do really want your feedback. So please do consider joining those groups and feel free to reach out to me directly. Like, we want to get better and better. So if any of you do now go out and purchase a Chromebook and you have feedback, send it on over, please. So really appreciate it. And thank you for having me. This was really wonderful.
Well, thank you again. And I'll be in touch with you in email. And again, everyone can look for this on our homepage probably by Monday or Tuesday. The homepage is EASI.cc. And there'll be a link to it at the top of the homepage. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And keep in touch with our homepage for future webinars. Thank you.
Thank
Have
you,
a good
everyone.
Day.
Bye.
Bye.